They're coming. Sometimes we just have to wait. Next Sunday, we will not be meeting here. Do not come here. Do not. Otherwise, you're going to be left alone. That's right. Down at the beach, the gazebo. What was I trying to say?
Pavilion.
Thank you. Thank you. Boy, I need some help, as usual. We'll be meeting down there. Usual time, 10:45, we'll be starting the service. We have special guest singer Rebecca Hoosby with her husband. And again, if you want to see a picture of her, she's out there on the bulletin board. She's part of the Freedom Fest coming up as well. But we get her first. And then we'll be having baptisms. Some of you have let me know. And if you haven't yet, please see me. And we'll talk about it. We'll have baptisms. And then, well, okay, time out. We will be having a potluck in between the baptisms and the wedding. And hi, Anita. Did you get a bulletin? We ran out of bulletins. Is there anyone who wants to give theirs to Anita? She needs one really bad. So there will be like meat and drinks provided, right? Meat and drinks provided, and then we supplement with the rest of the stuff down there. That will be our monthly food and fellowship fair next Sunday down at the beach. And then, the wedding, Butch and Colleen. Invite everyone to join them as they tie the knot. I guess that means I'm going to have to get a rope or something to actually tie. So, okay, we're looking forward to that. It'll be a great day of celebration. And what else then? After that, a movie coming up down at the Panada Theater, a Christian-themed one on love, forgiveness, loss, all of that stuff. It's called Favorite. And we'll remind you of this next Sunday also. It's the following weekend. Then $872 is the cost. What? $870, well, whatever. Bring $9 just to be safe. Down at the Panada Theater downtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there wheelchair access?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, pretty sure.
So
those are Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday dates. I'm not sure what they're doing on Friday, but we have something else scheduled on Friday. What is it? No, we were going to. Okay, I thought we filled it in with something else. Okay, anyway, we'll remind you that next Sunday. And, this is on Saturday also, the Freedom Fest at the fairgrounds, and special singing and speakers and all of that. Pastor Tim Remington, the one that had been shot a few years ago, the Altar Church down in Coeur d'Alene, will be speaking also. So, yes, that's the 14th, 2 weeks from this last Saturday. And that's from like 8 to 6 all day long there. Anything else I'm forgetting? Okay. We are keeping the same scripture this morning and graphic on the front of the bulletin because it ties in with heaven, as has been the last couple Sundays. From Psalm 23:6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or in Steve's words this morning, I will rest high on that mountain. Right, Steve? You'll rest high on that mountain. All righty, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. As TJ has reminded us, when we're not always, your faithfulness shines even brighter. We come into your house this morning, as always, with gratitude for the freedom to do so. Thankful, Lord, we can celebrate your love and goodness not only in the present, but in the future and forever. And so we open our hearts to what you have for us today, and we offer ourselves to you, that you would be honored and glorified in all of it. In your Son's name we pray, amen. Sorry, Mike was inspiring and encouraging me there, so a little extra there is his fault. Well, it might seem to you a strange request to have that song on a Sunday morning worship. I think the only other time, and I've used that song a lot in funerals, which is an appropriate place for us. But it's also appropriate for us to celebrate what that song says, and to know, again, that it's not only for funerals or when we say goodbye to someone, but there is a lot of application for that song in our lives today. And so we're going to unpack it, as it were, and share some of those thoughts as we focus on resting in the Lord. And the title of the message, Reclaiming Rest. Now, I was going to say Reclaiming Rest, but I thought, well, we're talking about a mountain, and there's that climbing thing. We were climbing Jacob's ladder and all that. There's a lot of kind of stuff you can throw in there, and so it's Reclaiming Rest. And I think it's also appropriate when you think of the fact that we do experience rest here in the present as we be still and know that He is God, as we place our hope and our trust in Him. Sometimes we have to reclaim it and reclimb it because we fall down that mountain sometimes when we stop trusting the Lord and we stop resting in Him. So all of these thoughts are appropriate, and so we're going to look at that. It's also appropriate as kind of the cap to the two-week series Kathy had on heaven. It's related to heaven and all of that as well. And so we're going to try to emphasize the thoughts of rest and what ways in which we can experience that rest in the present as well as looking forward to it in heaven. That song Vince Gill wrote said, talked about trouble and pain, the devil and rain, these things that we all experience in life, and that we will rest from that totally forever, but in the present. It's important for us to know that we can experience that rest even in the midst of those storms of life. And that we can shout even now to the Father and the Son. That we should be shouting, hallelujah, thank you, and all the love that goes with it in our present day struggles. So we're going to explore the different aspects of rest this morning. And there are seven, so it is a perfect number and perfect message in that regard for us to consider. Yes. We're going to begin with what we might call returning rest. Returning rest. It's going to come up there in just a second, I'm sure. Returning rest. This idea comes from the example of Joseph in the Old Testament. You remember Joseph, one of the youngest of the tribes, and went to Egypt, got sold into slavery and all of that. And he made a special request about returning to rest. And so we find this out of Genesis, Exodus, and Joshua. It's a bit of a lengthy passage, but Linda's good for it. And so we're going to hear her read about Joseph. Go ahead, Linda.
Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land He promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph made the Israelites swear an oath and said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up from this place. So Joseph died at the age of 110. And after they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. And Joseph's bones, which the Israelites had brought up from Egypt, were buried at Shechem in the tract of land that Jacob bought for 100 pieces of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. This became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants.
Yeah, I think it's instructive and it's interesting to think about Joseph had been carried off to Egypt. And the desire of his heart when he died was to be carried back and to be able to rest there where he had been taken from. And I think it's illustrative of our journey as well, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We're from there. We're here, but we're going back there. That's where our home is. And like Joseph, our heart's desire is to go rest high on that mountain, to carry our bones, whatever it is the Lord wants to take. I don't care what He takes as long as I'm there. And so like Joseph, it's a returning rest that we can think of, and our journey through life is a part of that returning rest. And it's the promised land that Joseph had heard about. He never got to experience it while he was alive. But Moses and the others, of course, back to the promised land that God had given to his people. Heaven is a promised land for us. It is our inheritance in Christ. Joseph had talked about this became the inheritance of Joseph's descendants. And we are the same in our inheritance in Christ, returning with him to that eternal home that he has prepared for us. Next, the psalmist helps us to understand that this is also what we might think of as a reflective rest. Right, Mike? This passage is one of Mike's favorites because we were talking about it earlier this week. And, Yeah? It's now one of your favorites, right? Okay. This may also seem... This is a passage that I use in every funeral message that I share because it's, in my mind, it's got some of the best perspective of God for us to understand and apply in our lives at a time of loss. Reflective rest, Psalm 90.
Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, and for they quickly pass and we fly away. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands.
Okay, so this psalm talks about life and its difficulties, full of trouble and sorrow, affliction, all of that. And, of course, the song, Go Rest High in the Mountain, starts, I know your life on earth was troubled. Whose life isn't? This is life. Because of the fall, sin, disease, all of that stuff came into the world. This is the world we live in. And so it's well for us to acknowledge that and I think to reflect on it. The psalmist is instructing the readers to remember that our days are numbered. There's only a certain number of days. Therefore, God, teach us to number our days aright that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Help us to reflect and to understand what life is about and its difficulties, but also that God has a plan and he can make good out of anything that we go through, but we need to reflect and to allow him to give us wisdom, give us his perspective, to see that even in the difficulties and the troubles of life, he is working good in it. We can rest even in the midst of that. But the end of the psalm is the best part, where it says, may your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So God's favor rests upon us when we reflect upon life and upon his goodness and what he offers to us to help us in the difficulties of life. We can have that rest even in the midst of it. And to ask him to establish the work of our hands, in my mind, means make something eternally valuable out of our work. Whatever we do in this life, don't let it just die here as if it accomplished nothing. Establish the work of our hands. Make it eternally effective. And so I think as we reflect on life and we have that perspective from God, and he teaches us to number our days aright, that means to really give concern and consideration to the eternal things. Even in the midst of those difficulties, he will. And so it is well for us, therefore, to teach our number our days right. Sorry. Okay. Is that good enough for now, Mike, on that? That'll work. All right. Then, of course, the core and the source of this rest is what we would and should call Redeemer rest. Redeemer rest. The core and source of it. Jesus himself said this in Matthew and Mark.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.
Yeah. Did you just say, wait till you die to come get my rest? Come now. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and meek in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Come away for a while, he told his disciples, and get some rest. Rest is a responsibility. I've preached a message talking about responsible rest. And Jesus offers that to us presently. And of course, we really need it. We all really need his rest. He's not talking about just physical rest. It's mental, it's emotional, it's spiritual. The rest that he offers to it touches every aspect of our lives. But he is the source. He is the core to our rest. If we don't find it in him, we are not going to find rest. We will be restless our whole lives, and the devil will have his way with us. And so we receive his rest, and we are able then to make good in the things of life that we have to deal with. He goes on to offer more of this Redeemer rest in John chapter 14, another familiar favorite passage.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, to be with me, that you also may be where I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Yeah. So Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm preparing a place for you. You know that. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit will remind you of these things when you need to hear it again. He will give you a peace that the world cannot give. Receive this peace. And so that rest that he offers to us, again, it's not just having to wait for that day, but it's available to us now. Knowing that that is the ultimate outcome gives us peace, gives us an ability to bear with whatever we're dealing with in life and have that peace and rest even in the midst of it. Peter then quoted on the day of Pentecost from the psalm, Psalm 16, as you know, my personal adopted psalm, and quoted from that about this rest in Acts chapter 2.
David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Yeah, that's the capstone of this psalm. And again, have I shared with you before, every aspect of that psalm speaks of my life and what the Lord offers to us and we're able to live in as we journey to that ultimate experience of it. This was not just a prophecy about the Messiah, but it is also telling us that that is our experience with the Lord when he is our Lord, that we can have that same confidence that our bodies will not stay there, but they will rise as with the Holy One. And in the midst of that, he makes known to us the path of life, peace and joy with him in his presence. He is present now. He will be present eternally. Wherever we are in his presence, near to the heart of God, I can go on and on. There it is. There's that peace and that rest that he offers to us. Next, Paul reminds us that this rest is also a revealing, renewing rest. Revealing, renewing. There's two thoughts there that kind of put together and couple of passages that relate to each other, out of Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 4.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Through outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Yeah, so we do go through difficulties in life. Present sufferings, Paul talks about. But he said, these are not worth comparing to what is going to be revealed in us. And he said, therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. This is part of the rest experience in the Lord, that we understand that these things we're dealing with are nothing compared to what glory is going to be revealed in us. Do we have to wait until we get to heaven to have that glory revealed in us? Boy, I hope not. I want my life to be revealing the glory of God. There's only one way that's going to happen, if I take that same attitude and perspective that the psalmist talked about and apply it in my life and say, yes, I'm going through some hard things here. This is hard for me, and maybe more than I can bear in my own strength, but by God's grace, by his rest in me, resting upon me, his glory can be revealed in that. Paul said, I rejoice in my sufferings and in my weakness, because that's when God is glorified. That's when his glory is revealed in me, because I'm weak, but he's strong. That rests upon me, and it's revealing. It's renewing as well. Though outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. That's part of rest as well. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Not on what is temporary, but on what is eternal. That's part of the revealing, renewing rest. Paul goes on then to remind us that this rest is also what we might call a raised rest. A raised rest. Colossians chapter 3, my mother's favorite passage again.
Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory.
Okay, so we have this thought that when we die, then we're going to be able to rest in heaven. Guess what? No. If you're in Christ, you've already died. That's the point. That's what this passage is saying. Since you have been raised with Christ, you've already died. So you're raised to that rest. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ, or at rest with Christ. That's how it works. That's how God makes it work. When we give our lives over to him, we have spiritually been reborn. That's why we use that term. We're renewed and we begin to rest in him. That's why we can let the things of life be conquered. That's why we triumph over those things, because we've already received that rest. We are raised with Christ spiritually already. We need to understand that. We are flying above the storm and all of those things that we've already sung about this morning. And so we need to have our hearts and our minds raised to where God and Christ are, and knowing that we coexist with them in that. And this happens when we die to ourselves. Then the writer of Hebrews reminds us that this rest is also a remaining rest. It's a remaining rest. Hebrews, who's got that? Cheryl, thank you.
Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found who have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience.
Yeah. So the rest that had been promised to them, they did not enter in because of their disobedience. Let us not make the same mistake. That rest remains available to us. We have a choice to make. Are we going to enter that rest or not? It requires for us to die to ourselves and to be obedient to what the Lord has for us. We then are able to rest from the works of the world. Now, don't take that literally, because that doesn't mean you can go out and quit your job today. But the works of the world, of course, are those things of flesh that sometimes we desire to get involved in. But the Lord helps us to die to that and to go to work for Him, serve Him, as it were, to be obedient to Him. And that is taking the yoke of Christ upon us, resting in that, and finding His work enjoyable, as Kathy mentioned in her message on heaven. When we get to heaven, we're going to have work to do. We're going to reign with Christ. We're going to be responsible for some things, but we will enjoy it. It'll be work that we enjoy, not like the burdens of this world. We can begin to experience that even here and now, understanding what the Scriptures have already told us, and I'm not going to repeat that again. But it does call us to be obedient in following the Lord and saying yes to what He is offering to us. The writer of Hebrews continues about that mountain that we are going to rest upon in Hebrews chapter 12.
You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Aren't we so thankful that we have a mountain to come to, unlike, in contrast to Mount Sinai, that was a place of fear and trembling, and that the people were afraid to go to. But we have a mountain that is inviting, because it represents God Himself, Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, joyful singing, all this good stuff that God offers to us. It's not a literal mountain that could be touched. It's a spiritual experience that we come to again when we receive Christ, accept Him, accept His cleansing blood, the joy, the righteousness, all of this is a part of that experience and the rest that it brings to us, so that we are climbing that mountain to rest upon it. Go rest high on that mountain, not the Old Testament one that brought a lot of grief and pain and fear. It is a better covenant, Jesus said, a new covenant that He offers to us. We should be so thankful every day that we live on this side of the cross, the grace that Jesus offers to us, and the kind of rest that we are able to come to in that. Finally, we come full circle by returning to where it began. Remember, we had returning rest. This is eternal rest. Now take a look at that word. Is that a word? Yes, it is, because I said so. When we were pastoring in Kalispell, a precious memory, I don't know if it was a Christmas play or an Easter play.
Bible school.
Oh, it was a Bible school thing. A girl named Lynette Schlinger had a part, and so she was talking, supposed to say the word eternal rest, or eternal something, but she said returnal. And everybody laughed, you know, it was a funny little mistake. And I thought about it and thought, you know, that's not a mistake. To say returnal is true. It is eternal, but again, we are returning to that which God offers to us. And again, we can go through the whole thing we've sung about all that this morning. But it is a returnal rest that lasts forever. And we see this in Revelation chapter 14, 13.
Then I heard a voice from heaven say, "Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." "Yes," says the Spirit, "they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them."
Now I have this thought about that. They will rest from their labor, and we've talked about that. Their deeds will follow them. What does that mean in the context of resting? That means to me that we have already begun resting back here when we died to ourselves, as I've already talked about. The deeds that result as a part of that are going to follow us to that eternal rest. We'll rest from those labors. We will again have heavenly labors and work and all that good stuff that we're going to enjoy, be a part of worshiping God in that. And so this is eternal rest. And I want to just encourage all of you. We didn't come here for a funeral service this morning, but we did come here to rejoice in the fact that the Lord does offer to us eternal life. It begins the moment that you give your heart to the Lord, and all that good heavenly stuff, we are experiencing the kingdom come here on this earth as it is in heaven when we give our hearts to the Lord. So I just want to encourage you, rest high on that mountain even now, even today. We do need the Lord's help in this, though, don't we? We acknowledge that we mess it up. We don't climb well. We fall back down, all of that sort of thing. So we need his hand to lead us and to guide us. He is a precious Lord. There's a beautiful old hymn that we're going to sing in closing in response this morning. "Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on through the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home." Then we can rest high on that mountain. Let's stand together as we sing this song. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here. Thank you. thank you, Father, that your hand is extended to us. You're the one that takes the initiative. Your hand extended to us was Jesus coming down, offering himself in our place, and offering his life in place of our death, offering victory over failures, offering rest over unrest. We can go on and on, Lord, what you offer to us. Thank you that your hand is extended to us. Help us to grasp your hand and never let go. Help us to offer our other hand to someone else, that your hand would be extended. Thank you, Lord, you give us those opportunities day by day. Help us not only to enter your rest, but to abide in it, to remain in it, and to offer it to others. Thank you so much, Lord. And for eternity, we'll be praising your name for it.